Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, November 25th. Coming up in a bit, we'll hear from a Ken business boss ahead of tomorrow's budget. There's a push for more men to speak up against violence against women as we mark White Ribbon Day. And did you know a Kent student appears in the new Wicked for Good movie? We'll catch up with her later. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A popular former pub landlord has been described as a true legend following his death. Archie Dryden passed away just a week after being diagnosed with motor neuron disease. Lucy joins me now with more details in this story, and he was quite a well-known figure, wasn't he, Lucy?
Yes, he was. The dad of four was previously the landlord of the Old Endeavour pub in Dover. He was also known for his involvement in local football and as one of the top pool players in the area. The 67-year-old's been described by friends as a very outgoing character and a true mate.
That's so sad. And what do we know about his illness?
Well, in the months before his death, Archie Dryden had lost weight as he was struggling to eat, but cancer was ruled out following tests. In late October, he had a knee operation and remained in hospital for a couple of weeks. Then, just a week before he died, he was diagnosed with MND, a neurological condition that damages nerves, leading to muscle weakness and wasting. His grieving family hope the tragedy will raise awareness of the disease and its symptoms.
Absolutely. And tell me a bit about the fundraiser that's been set up.
Yes, so that's been started by his best friend who wants to raise money to pay for Archie's funeral. The target of £5,000 has already been reached, and loved ones say they're expecting a massive turnout for the service. Dozens of people have commented on a post on socials, with many describing him as a true Dover legend who will be remembered forever. He leaves behind a partner, four children and five grandchildren.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A Maidstone man's been sentenced after throwing an apple at his wife with such force that he broke her nose and fractured her eye socket. The couple were on holiday in Belgium when it happened in a hotel in March. 36-year-old Antoine Gillenew, who now lives on Cavendish Road in Weybridge in Surrey, has been ordered to attend rehab sessions, pay compensation and do 120 hours of unpaid work. One of two men accused of killing a 33-year-old after he was allegedly attacked twice in 2 days has been found not guilty of manslaughter. Shane Norley, who's 37 and from Charter Street in Chatham, had been on trial over the death of Josh Ingram in April last year. A judge ruled he had no case to answer and the jury returned a not guilty verdict. A second man is still on trial. We've been hearing from business bosses in Kent ahead of the budget tomorrow. Chancellor Rachel Reeves insists her announcements will be fair and she'll focus on cutting the cost of living, NHS waiting lists and the cost of debt. Her plans are widely expected to include tax hikes. I spoke to Tudor Price, who's from the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
I would say it's probably been very well described by our future president of the British Chambers of Commerce, Mr. Muldaine, who's turned around and said it's a bit of a fiscal fandango. I have to say it is causing a tremendous amount of confusion and anxiety in the business community. There is a serious note to all of this, of course, which is we were starting to see a few, I want to use the word green shoots of recovery, is probably too well worn, that one. But there was a sense that there was a bit of optimism and a little bit of progress towards investment and plans for the future. The brakes have been slammed on since this pre-budget briefing that the Chancellor had. And now, of course, everyone's sort of looking over their shoulder wondering what's going to come next. So it's not been helpful. I could understand why they might think that sort of thing would go down well. But I think any observers and followers of chancellors in the past will realise that this has never been a good idea. It's always best to come to the table with a clean sheet and go, this is what we're going to do. Businesses like certainty, and we are not seeing a lot of that at the moment.
So what sorts of things are ringing alarm bells for businesses at the moment?
Well, of course, the national insurance contributions that employers had to pick up last year has had a huge impact and continues to do so. And we see that in the recruitment figures. We see that in the passing on of increased costs to consumers. So we see the impact that's having. And anything that were to then be sort of lumped on top of that now would be compounding the issue. So it's not that it's been and gone. It is still with us and it's still having an impact. So that's a great concern, that there's going to be some sort of hidden business tax added to that. business rates. Again, this is something that's currently floating around in the arena, as a result of which, again, businesses are thinking, well, do we stay where we are? Do we downsize our business property? Do we actually, hit that button for expansion and growth? Again, they're parking all those sort of things. And of course, alongside all of this is the Employment Rights Bill, which is ticking away in the background, and some of the obligations and pressures they're going to bring on to employers as well.
I think when we spoke last time, at some point after some budget or over the many years, there was a sense of that the country's in a bit of a mess and that it's the burden is falling onto the business sector to sort of pick up the slack and bridge the gaps. Is that still the sense? Is that it seems to be a that business is an easy target, I suppose, for the Chancellor at the moment?
To be honest with you, it seems to be conflicted. It doesn't seem to be any sense to this because we're being told that the government's key to economic success is growth. It will be growth that will drive the economy, drive the tax receipts, will therefore drive obviously investment in the private public sector and all the sort of public services that go with that. And yet the first thing they do is they put a ball and chain around the ankle of businesses. And you think, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. It seems to be contradictory. So we're sort of waiting to see whether or not, there is some golden egg that's suddenly going to be delivered by the Chancellor for the business community to actually encourage them to make that investment and make that growth. So yeah, it's been incredibly confusing and conflicting. You can understand why most businesses are just sitting to think, well, what's going to happen next? Because there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to what's gone in the past.
Kent Online News.
Some sad news now. A man's died in hospital after the mobility scooter he was riding was involved in a collision with a car in Maidstone. He was taken to a London hospital for treatment after it happened on a pedestrian crossing near the library last Friday lunchtime. A man in his 40s who was driving the car was arrested and has been bailed while investigations continue. Two men have been arrested following a confrontation linked to the removal of England flags in Faversham. Police were called to reports of a disturbance in Love Lane on Sunday night. A 29 and 67-year-old have been questioned on suspicion of assault. Now, as part of White Ribbon Day events, a Tunbridge Wells man has told us why it's so important for men to speak out about violence against women and girls. Today marks the start of 16 days of activism against gender-based harassment and abuse. Martin Matthews has been pictured along with a group of men from around the country to help raise awareness. He and I were able to sit down for a chat.
I've always been very anti any kind of inequality, be that for whatever reason. But I also have a real passion to make a difference and be a change, a positive change in the world. I mean, that's why I do the work I do, but also it's why I'm involved in something like this, because I can be that voice, I can be that change. And change doesn't always have to be a big thing. It starts with small conversations. So just by me being an ambassador and having those conversations with people, challenging behavior, challenging things that are said, it makes a difference. And it's not about blame, it's about education, and changing behaviours and changing viewpoints.
Why do you think it's particularly important for men to be part of these campaigns and be part of that push to raise awareness, as you say, to educate? Why in particular do men need to use their voice?
I think really because it starts with us. Obviously it's about men's violence against women and girls. It's about, challenging sort of sexist behaviour, misogyny, catcalling, stuff that's perceived maybe as being, banter, a lot of, workplace stuff. It's, learnt behaviour, things that people, think are acceptable to say or do. There's just really is no place for it in 2025. Nobody should be living in fear, and everybody has the right to be loved and accepted for who they are and what they are.
So what sort of practical steps can other men take?
Having conversations, challenging behavior. If somebody says something that isn't right, then don't just kind of laugh along. Speak to that person, tell them. They might not realize. I mean, sometimes people don't. We all say stuff. We're none of us perfect. But yeah, it's just it's about education. I mean, the more you look into these things, the statistics are truly horrifying surrounding domestic abuse and violence against women and girls. You know, it really, the deeper that you look, the more, well, the more it inspired me. And I think certainly it's something that needs to be much more publicly discussed and much more awareness raised around it. And I know that there's already quite a lot, but we won't ever effect that change until we all say no.
So, what can you tell me about this portrait series? I have seen the portrait and it is wonderful. How does it feel seeing yourself that way? How does it make you feel being part of that portrait series?
I'm incredibly proud to have been picked. I'm very humbled. The portrait session itself was an amazing experience. I only saw the photograph this morning, for the first time, and I have to say I love it. I'm slightly apprehensive because obviously I don't know how big it's going to be, you know, how public it's going to be, or all of that sort of stuff. But I'm very, very proud. And if by taking part and being part of this, I can even do one little bit of good, then it's been worth it.
The first of the portraits will be unveiled today and shared on the White Ribbon websites and socials. Here's a snippet of their online campaign.
Letting sexism slide puts women and girls at risk.
Sexist jokes, catcalling, and comments
might seem harmless,
but they are serious because they can lead to violence and abuse.
This White Ribbon Day,
we want more men to speak up
to create a world
where everyone is safe,
equal, and respected.
Kent Online News.
A Turkish restaurant in Kent is among a list of businesses fined for failing to pay enough tax. Alaturka branches in Ramsgate and Herne Bay underpaid by more than £100,000 between 2019 and 2021. They've been issued with penalties totaling £50,000. You can see the full list of other firms over on our website. The next phase of a controversial housing development in Medway has been given the go-ahead. 800 homes are being built as part of the East Hill Estate in Capstone Valley. Councillors say they've reluctantly approved the latest designs after losing an appeal over the original application. Elsewhere, there are plans to build 110 homes along with commercial units within the Kent Downs National Landscape near Folkestone. Developers want to use land near the cemetery in Hawkinge at the junction of Aerodrome Road and Spitfire Way. A previous application for 52 properties on the same site was withdrawn back in April 2024. Residents are worried the new proposals will lead to an increase in traffic. More than £100,000 has been spent on repairs to a bridge between Staplehurst and Headcorn following crashes over the last 5 years. Hawkenbury Bridge has had to be closed a total of 10 times during that period, which residents say is impacting journey times as well as local businesses. Jonathan Woodbridge runs the Hawkenbury pub and has been chatting to our reporter Ellie Hodgson.
What questions do you want me to put to Kent County Council after seeing this?
I'd ask them to turn around and do a more holistic economic impact assessment of what is the real true cost of, for example, this one, a 3.5 week diversion, in terms of how many more miles have been done by HGV lorries, the impact on the environment. Perhaps they'll be very cynical and say everybody's spending more on tyre repairs and on fuel, etc., so it doesn't really matter. Just along here, we've got two of our real locals who, in the last 2 weeks, have had to replace a tyre because they've come off on one of the diversion roads where the ruts have been made so deep by lorries that frankly shouldn't be using it that they've actually had to replace tyres. One of them is £180, including a wheel, and the other it's £110.
In your view, what is the solution?
I actually think the solution is traffic lights. Some locals have said actually maybe mirrors might do it, because particularly on this bridge, the second bridge you can see and you can get over this bridge, as you come up to it, you can't actually see over it. So it's not like the one at Leeds Castle where it's a priority traffic system, but you can see what's going on. Alternatively, you've got to have something else which is substantially slowing people down.
And just on the sort of human and business impact of this, how stressful is it for you every time one of these closures comes in?
Well, every time they happen, we have to turn around and say, how long are we going to be closed for? Now, to be fair, when the last closure before this one, They said it would be closed. Well, in fact, they were partial closures from 10 till 3 and not at the weekends. So people could still get across in the morning, in the evening, and at the weekends. This one is different. It's a total closure. We've certainly lost significant... we would normally expect to have pre-Christmas parties in the last two weeks of November, and we just had to turn around and say, well, we can't be doing it. So we might hope for a better Christmas.
Kent County Council have previously said they're committed to working with communities to improve road safety.
Kent Online News.
A Kent Wetherspoon pub has submitted plans to extend its weekend opening hours. Bosses at the Peter Cushing in Whitstable High Street want to stay open until 1 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Concerns were previously raised about antisocial behaviour, but the application says those issues no longer exist. A Tunbridge Wells dad has spoken openly about his experience of psychosis following a collapse in his mental health. Jamie Walker says things spiralled after the loss of his business, breakdown of his marriage, a bereavement, ADHD diagnosis and battle with alcoholism. The 52-year-old started suffering hallucinations and ended up in intensive care in hospital.
You don't realise how sick you are whilst you're in it. So you start to recognise things. So I was hearing voices, I was sort of noises in through walls and scratching and all this sort of stuff. And I was trying to make a logical reasoning for it. But it became very apparent that I was living a very, very strange life and things weren't adding up. I had what they call detachment. So it would almost like be an out of body experience where I'd observe myself throughout the day. I don't know if you've ever driven, sort of, if you've ever played like video games when you're driving a car, that you have different ways of viewing the car. You can actually be inside the car and then a little bit further, and then you can have sort of that bird's eye view. And that's the only way I can describe it, is the latter. I was almost looking down upon myself throughout the day, watching what I was doing, being curious, wondering who that person was. And I'd look into the mirror as well, brushing my teeth, and it would be like not recognizing who that person was. And it's not like, oh, he looks a bit old, or he's put a bit of weight on, or whatever it may be. It's really not recognizing who that person was. So it was, and again, I was just like, this will pass. It's okay. It's all right. And then once I started communicating to people, they were like, no, you're really unwell and we need to look after you. And that was the hardest part, is to actually talk about it.
The activist and actor has been supported by the Shaw Trust, which has helped him rebuild his life, get housing support and look at career opportunities. He's now a mental health advocate and has been shortlisted for a prestigious award. The winner is due to be announced tomorrow. A new hydrotherapy unit is opening in Kent to help pets recover from surgery and manage health conditions. Pennard Vets are creating the facility at their branch in Sevenoaks. As well as helping with rehabilitation, the water therapy can also support animals that need to lose weight. And award-winning Farm Shop will be hosting its first ever Christmas market this year. The free event will be running at Macnade in Faversham with local food, drink and gifts. It's on the first weekend of December. That's the 6th and 7th. Now, we've been catching up with a 10-year-old girl from Maidstone who is in one of the most anticipated films of the year. Matilda Williams was chosen out of hundreds of children in the country to be in Wicked for Good. She's been telling me about what it was like.
So basically, the scene I'm in is young Galinda's birthday party, and I'm in the first 15 minutes, so you can see me pretty easily.
And how did you get involved?
We basically, like, the agency told us to make a video and like a scene we had to do. So we sent it to them, and out of like 100-200 kids, I was chosen out of 12. And it was really, really cool.
And tell me about your time on set.
It was a really long day. It wasn't really stressful. It was like 10 hours. Yeah, and it was very, very kind of stressful because, like, it was like in the green room, out the green room, in the green room, out the green room, and like on set, and then like the cameras are there, and then no cameras, and then like it's kind of a lot of pressure to have a camera on you like all the time, and like you can't mess up.
And I believe you got to meet Ariana Grande as well, is that right?
Yeah, I did.
And what was she like? Was she, because I have an image of her that she would just be the loveliest, most wonderful person. Is she exactly like that?
Yeah, she's so kind and so nice. I love her.
Did you get to have a bit of a chat to her? Did you talk about anything in particular?
No, we didn't get to spend that much time with her because we were just about to go on set after our lunch break.
And tell me, Matilda, were you a really big fan of Wicked before you sent in your audition for the movie? Had you seen the stage show? Had you seen the movie? Were you a super fan?
I really was. Like, I'd went and seen the Broadway show and I'd watched the movie 5 times before.
So I imagine this was sort of, you know, a dream come true for you to be in this movie.
It was like a couple nights before they revealed what film it was. I was just like, imagine if this is Wicked Part 2. And I was just like, wait, no, that's too big.
She was invited to a preview screening in Leicester Square ahead of the London premiere and says everyone should go and see it.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly in cricket, fixtures have been released for Kent's T20 campaign next season. The men and women will start with 2 doubleheaders, including one against Sussex Sharks in Canterbury on the 25th of May, which is Bank Holiday Monday. All of their home games for the T20 Blast will take place on either a Friday night, Sunday afternoon, or Bank Holiday Monday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to Kent Online. .co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.